But we have to distinguish between the vision and what the shaitan make us say in our dreams. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الرؤيا من الله والحلم من الشيطان. And حلم is a name for everything that you see in your dream that you dislike. And الرؤيا is a name for anything that you see which you like. And الرؤيا is a glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is anything else is either comes from a shaitan or comes from when a person's mind is busy and thinking about a lot of things and that carries on in his dream. When we see something that we dislike, we do six things. We ask Allah refuge from the evil of what we have seen. We ask Allah refuge from a shaitan. You turn from the side that you are sleeping on. You sit on your left side three times. How many?
Four.
You do not tell anybody about it. And you get up and you pray to rak'ah. If you do that, that what you have seen is not going to harm you, inshaAllah. So we go back to the chapter that we have discussing, and also this chapter is related to Tawheed, which means we do not say by the will of Allah and the will of so and so, and we do not say by the will of Allah and the will of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read for us then.
The Jews were aware of the consequences of minor shirk.
Yes.
Man's understanding of their shirk if he wishes to. The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made an associate with Allah. Alfred Jemahu is the poet who said, O noblest of creatures, there is none for me but thee to seek refuge in distress.
Yeah, this is he said, the poet, he said, Ya Akram al-Khalq, ma li man alud bihi siwaka, عند حلول الحادث العمم. It's a mistake in Arabic. This is what I read for you. عند حلول الحادث العمم. And I think the second line says, إِن لَمْ تَكُنْ آخِذًا بِيَدِي InshaAllah, I will remember it. So this poet, he said this poetry is me, what you have said. And then, and also the latter part of this poetry is saying, فَإِنَّ مِنْ زُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَضَرَّفَهَا وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمَ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. Due to your generosity, you are abandoning this life and the hereafter. And part of your knowledge, the knowledge of the preserved tablet. This is the Prophet of Allah. And that is the statement that represents shirk. Because to say that the Prophet abandoning this life, we can understand that. But abandoning the hereafter in which he will see Allah. And how can we say an aspect of the prophetic knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved book. And Allah wrote in the preserved book everything. Which means, implies the knowledge of the Prophet is more than the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're going to find this poetry is a very famous poetry amongst the Sufis. Because they use it in Nahjul, this is the poetry of Nahjul Buddha, and they use it when they are celebrating the Mawlid of a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says now in the second part of it says, إِن لَمْ تَكُنْ آخِذًا يَوْمَ الْمَعَادِ يَدِي عَفْوًا فَإِلَّا فَقُلْ يَا ذَلَّكَ الْقَدَمِ. If you do not hold me, I will hold. So this is the type of association that some of the those people who exaggerate in loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, ma sha Allahu wahda. And some of those people say, aspect of your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we're going to move on to the next chapter after that. Is there more issues?
Yes.
Okay, please.
This is not the major shirk that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will prevent it from doing so for such a time.
Yeah, because in the text of the hadith, the Prophet heard about what the people were saying, yet he did not come to forbid them from doing so. And why he did not forbid them from doing so, the best explanation that was given to that, because he did not receive any revelation concerning that effect, concerning the situation. But when the dream was seen, that was a wahi that comes, and that necessitated for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to address this issue.
A true dream is a kind of revelation.
It's a ru'ya saliha. Also a ru'ya saliha means a vision that is correct, a vision that is not also distorted. A ru'ya saliha, it means a vision that is correct, and also a vision that is not distorted. So if a person sees and has seen so many things that he does not remember what was going on and up and down, just like this companion who saw his head was chopped off and he was running after his head. The Prophet ﷺ told him, do not tell the people about how the shaitan is doing to you. So the vision which is a faliha, a vision that has a benefit to you, and also it's not distorted. Many times we see a dream, we do not remember what was said, what was done. It's all mixed up. But a ru'ya faliha, it's not, it's a ru'ya that is clear. There is the others, they are distorted. You understand the difference?
A bound in two dreams may be the reason for initiating a ruling in the Sharia.
Yeah, and this is what we have talked about in the previous thing. Now we're going to move to the chapter, مَنْ سَبَّ الْجَهَلْ فَقَدْ آذَى اللَّهِ. Whoever cursed time has wronged Allah. First, before we go into this chapter, there's two words in Arabic, Adha or Adha and Darra. Adha, Alif with the Shad, with the Madda Alif, and Zal and Alif Mahsura. And Bur, Ba, Bab and Ra. Bab and Ra. There are two different levels of two different levels of harm. The lesser one is Adha, and the higher one is Both. So in our talking tonight, we're going to use the word hurt for Adha. Hurt. And harm for the other one. Clear? Some of the disbelievers, they say, وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرُ وَمَا لَهُمْ بِذَلِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. They say, our life, we only live and die, and the reason we die is because our time has run out. So some of the disbelievers, they were not even believing that death comes upon them due to Allah's will to take their life. But they say, we die because our time has run out. Ad-dahr is the age, the time in which the people live in. You understand? Ad-dahr is the age or the time in which the people live in. So those disbelievers are saying, we live and we die because ad-dahr, because of the time. The time has run out. However, they have no knowledge of that fact, but they only making false assumptions. So now we know what is ad-dahr. In the second hadith, the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, قال الله تعالى, which means when we say قال الله تعالى, the hadith is Qudsi. This is the speech of Allah. But it's not a Quran. Yet it's the speech of Allah. يؤذيني ابن آدم يسب الدهر وأنا الدهر أقلب الليل والنهار. The son of Adam hurts. The son of Adam hurts me. He cursed ad-dahr. I am the dahr. I turn the night and day. The reason why I said we're going to use curse for ever, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, meaning they're not going to harm Allah. So the disbelievers, they're not going to be able to harm Allah. But this speech, by cursing and cursing the dahr, hurts, excuse the ever. So there's no contradiction between what Allah said in the Quran and what it says over here. Because ever is a lesser form of harming. So we go on and we explain this hadith inshaAllah after we make this point clear. The son of Adam wears at the time. They say, you know, this is an evil time. May Allah do this and this to this time. And they say many things. When we are talking about time, it's permissible to describe the time. So it's permissible to say, well, yesterday was a difficult day. It was a hard day. That is an aspect of describing what was going on in those days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent the wind about to the people of Ad, He said, في أيام النحسات, in days that are having the nahs in them, the evil in them. So this is describing the time. And this is different than swearing at the time. Swearing at the time is not permissible. Because whatever happens to us when we are living, it's because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instituted upon us. So if we swear at the time, if we think the time is doing that to us, this is a major shirk. And if we know that what happens to us due to Allah's will over us, that is we are swearing at the time, but that is we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and I am ad-dahr. But that does not mean one of the names of Allah is ad-dahr. This is a very important point. Because we have learned in the aspect or in the principle to believe in the names of Allah that His names are Husna. Correct?
No.
Husna means they manifest perfect perfection. Ad-dahr as a word does not denote any name. الزهر does not denote any meaning. So we do not derive from it attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So الزهر is not one of the names because it does not fit the criterion of being Qudsi. Secondly, Allah said, I turn the night and the day. If Allah is الزهر, that means turning himself. And this is a meaning that is not valid. So he explains to us, Allah Azza wa Jal, what does it mean he is الزهر, that he turns the night and the day. And that proves to us, when we were talking about believing in the names and attributes, we have to understand it the way it appears. The apparent meaning, al-ma'na al-wahid. And that is an evidence for that. Here, if somebody says al-ma'na al-wahid, the apparent meaning, Allah is al-dahab. If somebody says that, you say, no, Allah clarified for us that by saying, أُقَلِّبُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ I turn the night and the day. Which means, if that which occurs is not intended for you to understand, the Sunnah will show you that it's not intended for you to understand. So Allah is the one who turns the night and the day. Therefore, part of our Tawheed is not to swear at the time. Because whatever befall us during the time, due to Allah's will over us and Allah's shukr over us. Also, it says in another narration, do not swear at الدهر because Allah is الدهر. And also again, that does not mean one of the names of Allah is الدهر. Then we move on, inshaAllah, to the issue.
Cursing الدهر is forbidden. Abusing الدهر is in fact to wrong Allah. Contemplation of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily Allah is al-dahr. Something may be an abuse even if such was not the heartfelt intention of your being.
Yeah. Then we're going to move on inshaAllah to the chapter after that. The chapter to be named Judge of the Judges and the Light. The hadith in the أَقْنَعَ إِسْمٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ رَجُلٌ تَسَمَّى مَلِكَ الْأَمْلَاءِ لَا مَالِكَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The lowest name by Allah is a name of a person who calls himself the King of the Kings. There is no owner except Allah. There are certain names that if a person names himself those names, that represents disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those names will be competing with Allah's name. One of those names is Malikul Amlaq. A person who names himself Malik al-Amlaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him because this person is competing with the attributes and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, that means to us, to establish our tawheed, we need to call ourselves names that befit us and do not call ourselves names that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going to see in the next chapter what we have to do if we are named such names. Talking in Aruma wa Akbasuhu. In another narration it says, the most vexatious man to Allah is the person meaning who names himself this name, the King or the King. Read the chapter, the point.
prohibition of applying the title King of Kings to anyone. Prohibition of applying any other similar connotation as in the example given by Sufyan رضي الله عنه. Comprehension and understanding of the gravity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, despite that one may not intend the ugly or worse meaning of it in his heart. Realization and understanding this account by Allah being most high and unapproachable in his greatness and without any shortcomings, unlike the worldly king.
Can we move on, inshallah, to the next chapter? This is Shahin Shah. It's the Persian word which means the kings of the kings, or an expression like that. It was narrated in this chapter, respect for the names of Allah and changing one name for the sake of that. The bab of احترام اسماء الله وتغيير الاسم لاجل ذلك. عن ابي شريح انه كان يكنى ابا الحكم وقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ان الله هو الحكم واليه الحكم. فقال ان قومي اذا اختلفوا في شيء اتوني فحكمت بينهم فرضى كل الفريقين. فقال ما احسن هذا، فما لك من الولد؟ قلت شريح ومسلم وعبد الله. فقال فمن أكبرهم؟ قلت شريح. قال فأنت أبو شريح. That a person came to the Prophet, and this person used to mean the father of Al-Hakam. Al-Hakam meaning the wise or the ruler, the father of the one who rules. He said, or the Prophet ﷺ told him, Allah is Al-Hakam, and to him belong Al-Hukm. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. He said, well, my people, if they have any dispute about something, they come to me and I will judge for them and they will be happy. He said, this is good. You have any children? He said, yes, Shuraih, a Muslim, and Abdullah. He said, who is the oldest? He said, Shuraih. He told him, you are Abu Shuraih. So from here we know we change our name if our name do not fit the Islamic standard. Here Al-Hakam, where it says, وَإِلَيْهِ الْحُكُمْ. I want to make review with you. He said Al-Hukm is two types, Kawni and what are the two types of Al-Hukm? To create and to legislate. So when you say Al-Hukm belongs to Allah, it means all of it. The one to legislate and the one to the name will be approved in Islam. Any name that refers, they say al-ism al-murakkab or al-ism al-mudaf, a name that is added to the word al-deen. They say this name, some of the scholars, they did not like this type of name. For example, to say Alam al-Din, Shihab al-Din, all of those names that they attributed to a deen is not something that should be done. And we have here some of the cases of the scholars that go to that point where it says, قال الشيخ بكر أبو زيد في رسالته تسمية المولود. The Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd said in the little SA, the naming of the newborn, it is disliked to name a name that is added to the word deen or to the word al-Islam, Riya'ad-Deen, Wanur al-Islam, because those two words, al-Deen and al-Islam, they are honorable. So when we add a name to it, that name may not be true. Therefore, some of the scholars said that this is haram, and some of them said that this is disliked, because it denotes some meaning that are not correct. Meaning somebody might be named Nasr al-Deen, and he is the one who is forsaking the deen. And the beginning of that, it was started as laqab, not a name, but a nickname, and then after that it was used as name. And an Imam al-Nawawi, he used to dislike to be called Nasr al-Deen. The Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he used to dislike to be called as Nasr al-Deen. And he says, my parents named me that, and then it came to me. So that is related also, not directly to what we are talking about, but it's related, we have to use the name that also why are you... This is a very important lesson, and one of the objectives of the lesson is not to laugh in the lesson. Now we're going to read the issues, inshaAllah.
The grace of the name and attributes of Allah, though its actual meaning is not intended by the user for himself.
Here, when it says when the actual meaning is not intended, so in the case, the actual meaning was intended. See, the person named this person Abu al-Hakam because the meaning of that was present in this person. And we know that some companions used to be named Al-Hakam and Hakim, and the Prophet ﷺ did not change their name. So in this case, we say more accurately that the actual meaning was intended. This is why the Prophet ﷺ changed his name. And if the actual meaning was not intended, maybe the Prophet ﷺ did not have changed his name. Just like some other companions, by the name of the same name, he did not change their name.
Changing the name on a common bed.
Yeah.
Taking the elder child name of the queen.
Yeah. That could be the child's name. It could be taken as a queen. Having said that, we saw Allah and all of those chapters. The author includes them in his book to make us pay attention to things that rich people find. And those are some speech that is not correct, is not appropriate. Some people may do not accept when somebody swears by Allah to them. Also re-emphasize the fact you should not elevate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is a slave to Allah. Also not to curse against the Dahr, and not to call names that are of Allah Azza wa Jal only, and to change our names if they denote any wrongful meaning. Having said that, we stop at this point, inshaAllah. If you have any questions, we try to answer them now.
Because of the statement of the Prophet ﷺ in chapter 43, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَى صَلَيْتَ مِنَ اللَّهِ is this, you know, a major sin?
Major sin, yes.
Okay, so, In chapter 45, you said that there's two different levels of harm, the left one then Azhar, Abel, and the other one, Zor,
Bor,
Zor,
Bor,
Zor. you gave the explanation for our daughter, her or his age or time which she was living. We didn't give the explanation for your daughter, Han, but that's it for Han.
Yes. Han learned the superior language to the English language. Imagine Han, but Han has two levels. That which is the top level, in Arabic it is Bal. That which is of lesser level is Adha. So Adha could be done to Allah and His Messenger. But Dar could not be done to Allah and His Messenger.